What's up, Bandhive crew? James here. And before we jump into this episode, I wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever wished there was a way to connect with me as well as other listeners in real time? I have the solution. I finally got around to making a Bandhive Discord server, which is people have been asking me for years and I just wasn't listening. I wish I had done this sooner because I couldn't be happier with the results. It's been fantastic. And we would love to see you join us. We have discussions about the music business, gear, the podcast, and a general channel as well. You can join the discussion now by visiting bandhive.rocks/discord. Again, that is bandhive.rocks/discord. Welcome to episode 182 of the Bandhive Podcast.
You're listening to the Bandhive Podcast, the number one online resource for DIY bands to learn about the music business and touring. If you want to turn your band into a lean, mean touring machine, you're in the right place. Now, let's get this show on the road.
It is time for another episode of the Bandhive Podcast. My name is James Cross, and I am here with Matt Hose, the number one Blink fan in the world. Probably not, I'm just making things up. But everyone's the number one Blink fan in the world today when it is episode 182 of the Bandhive Podcast. How are you doing today, Matt?
I am doing fantastic. It's a nice and gloomy day, actually, which is a unwanted, but it's also, you know, like the very last little bit of Colorado springtime. In Colorado springtime, we basically get these random days where it's like it can be sleeting in the morning and then like hailing in the afternoon and then like, but it's 70 degrees during the middle of the day. And so it's pretty much a veritable roll of the dice as to what the weather is doing. I like a little rain because Colorado doesn't get a lot of rain. So today feels a little more peaceful than usual, which is kind of nice. Nice change of pace.
Yeah, peaceful is very nice if you ask me. And it's kind of a gray day here too. The sun and the blue sky are poking out in places, but it's nothing like we had a week and a half ago when it was just beautiful weather, not a cloud in the sky. So I'm looking forward to that returning. And I mean, this episode comes out in like a month from now. So May 23rd, maybe it'll be snowing, maybe it'll be sunny. Who knows? I don't know. Not that far in advance. But you know what, man? I do know that we're going to do a case study today. And because it's episode 182, we're actually going to do a case study into Blink 182, specifically their video for The Rock Show.
It's going to rock, yeah.
It's going to be amazing. You actually met your wife at a rock show. You were at Riot Fest when you met her.
I sure did. It's funny because the song that we chose today and everything surrounding it kind of has a lot of personal meaning to me because The Rock Show was the song that I walked down the wedding aisle to on the day that I married my wife because I met my girl at The Rock Show. So we had a pianist play a classical rendition of this song while the wedding party proceeded down the aisle. This song is a special song to me. And then also, my very first concert ever was Blink 182. So kind of both momentous events in my life, you know, in my personal life and in my music life. Blink 182 is probably one of the first bands that really, really inspired me as a musician. And so I love the idea of sitting and doing a little case study and going through their music video.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun, especially with that personal connection. I've seen Blink 182 once, but it was with Matt Skiba. And to be honest, I was there for AFI and I left after the first four songs of Blink because I had work early the next day. What I saw was really cool. And I believe they actually did play The Rock Show fourth because I remember there was like one song that I wanted to see. And I looked up their set list in advance, like from a previous show. I was like, they're probably going to play it fourth, so we'll stay until then. So let me actually Blink 182 San Diego, because this show was in San Diego as a hometown show. So that was fun. December 11th. Yeah, The Rock Show. They played Feeling This, What's My Age Again, Family Reunion, and The Rock Show. So I got to see four of the bangers right away, and then I missed the next 16 songs. They covered Bohemian Rhapsody, apparently. But yeah, I had a good time. I saw AFI, Jimmy Eat World, Pierce the Veil, and then Blink. So it was a good night. Of course, there's some background there of Matt Skiba and Davey Havok way back in the day were feuding.
I didn't realize that AFI and Alkaline Trio had beef.
Well, they're all vegan, so there's no beef. But at least Davey and Matt, I think Matt is vegan. So without turning into a gossip show, Davey Havok's girlfriend broke up with Davey and married Matt Skiba.
Ooh.
In the show notes, there will be a link to an interview with Fat Mike from NoFX, because Fat Mike got invited to the wedding and they asked him to make a speech. And I'll leave it at that. You can watch the video for the rest of the details. It's worth it. Trust me. You want to see this interview. I mean, NoFX even has the line, Davey Havok's house is painted black. So you know Fat Mike and Davey are tight on some level. Inviting him to your wedding was probably a mistake, Mr. Matt Skiba. Then again, he might be amused by it because they got separated. So maybe now he's like, remember that time Fat Mike gave a speech at my wedding? That was worth it.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, that'll be in the show notes at bandhive.rocks/182. That's the number 182, just like in the band name Blink-182. Matt, you want to take us away with some thoughts on the music video for The Rock Show?
Absolutely. So this is a fun music video. The concept of the music video is that they got a check from their production company, and instead of putting it into this big, huge, high production quality video, which was the style of the 90s, they decided to cash that, go grab a terrible little camera with a fisheye lens, and they walked around and did what pretty much everybody that has TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat and all those things nowadays. And they made basically like a little selfie video. And the entire thing is them just doing absolutely ridiculous things with this money. I'm not sure how they as a band managed to pull it off. Back in the 90s, there was a lot of money in the music industry. And so I'm not even sure if they had to run any type of like plan by the production company or if they were just like, hey, we're going to record a music video for this song and they got a check cut. But in my experience, when you're going to a label to ask for money about a music video, you generally have to come to them with a story or storyboard, at least, if you're getting money from them. That might not have been the case back in the 90s when the music industry was making tons and tons of money. So these guys kind of did something that was unconventional. You know, everybody else is putting out these epic music videos with high production quality and a lot of them having, you know, this is when like a lot of storyline music videos were coming into play. You had like Sum 41 with Fat Lip and, you know, it's just like a lot of, they had really, really good storytelling. And then here comes Blink-182 where they're like, oh yeah, we're going to take this money and we're going to go do a bunch of ridiculous things. So throughout the course of this video, the theme is very much so on brand for punk rock. 90s punk rock was all about just like destruction and potty humor. That was pretty much 100% of it. And that's what this video is pretty much about. If you haven't seen this video, you have to go watch it, obviously, because that's what this whole episode is about. But, you know, they do everything from shaving old women's heads to dropping cars from cranes. But the goal, as with today, this is something that's very interesting and very much so still the same as today, the goal is always shock value. So everything that they do, these aren't actors. It's like they're out there with wads of money trying to convince people to let them do just ridiculous things to them. They pay a homeless man to get into their van, and he's very reluctant. You can tell even in the video that they're like trying to coax him into their Blink-182 van with money. And then they take him to go get a makeover and buy him an all-white tuxedo and get him all done up nice. And so he comes out and looks like a pimp. And it's just this shock value that still exists in today's society. One of my more important notes about this video is what I feel is that they said, hey, this song is a song about meeting a girl at the rock show. And instead of making a music video where they meet a girl at the rock show, the imagery that goes along with this video feels very out of place. You're like, why is this music video about this? And it kind of makes sense because Blink-182 never takes anything seriously. There's a very accurate pull to their branding there. If you've ever seen any of their music videos, you know that more often than not, they are trying to appeal on a comical front. Go watch What's My Age Again. If you haven't seen that music video, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. But what's important about the imagery is they actually tie everything that you see in that music video into a similar scenario of meeting a girl at a rock show. 99.9% of people are not going to meet the girl at the rock show, and it's something that you're never, ever going to see. It's not a real world scenario for most people. And this video is basically a bunch of scenarios of things that you would never expect, just like falling in love at a rock show. You have homeless people getting makeovers. You have strippers mowing the yard and doing house chores. You have a band that is performing inside of a bank vault. Some of their performance shots are filmed with a fisheye lens while they're inside of a safety deposit box room. These are just kind of already kind of on with the branding that they did, where it's like, oh, we got a check. We're headed to the bank. We're getting it cashed. And we're going to go do all of these ridiculous things that you never see in real life, like smashing brand new TVs out of the hands of the owner and dropping cars from cranes. And it's absolutely poetic that they use all of these images to allude to the message of the song. For me, you know, my mom is a literature teacher, and so I tend to see like the allegory in things. And I think that years and years ago, I never would have looked at that and said, oh yeah, clearly this imagery is representative of blah, 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 this. It's like, no, I would have been like, ha, this is hilarious. Look at them skateboarding on the roof of that car, you know, all like, oh, they shaved that old lady's head. Like, there's so many ridiculous things that happen in the video. It's just scene after scene. It's like watching an episode of Robot Chicken. You're just like, oh my gosh, here's one shocking thing kind of after the next shocking thing. Now, the big difference between modern society and the way they did this back in the 90s is that they paid for everything. They weren't just walking around. If you ever experience an influencer in the wild, they're a strange breed. I'm not going to speak ill of them, but I mean, if you've ever like, whenever you see somebody in the middle of Walmart dancing with their friend, like cameraing around them, it's like, yep, you're trying to make a spectacle of your whole life in front of everybody. And it's shocking. And nobody else knows what's going on. And some of the time, they're respectful and they don't damage anything. And some of the time, they're not. So what I really like about this video is, despite the heavy punk rock branding of destroy, potty humor, do ridiculous things that nobody ever sees, they are still respectful in how they do these things, which is really, really cool. One of my other prominent notes is that you see a lot of things like skateboards and underground in general. Like 1990s Vans was like all about skateboarding, BMX, cool shoes, Atticus, Etnies, you know, Hurley International. All of these underground clothing companies, surfing and skateboarding and, you know, anybody that kind of seemed like a misfit. And one curious thing about this music video is that they actually spent a lot of money like buying Vans products for people in their video, like skateboards. And then they integrate those into the video. It's like they go buy a bunch of kids a bunch of brand new skateboards, and then they spend their time skateboarding off of the Blink-182 van. And not only is this just like super cool, but it's a direct image response to a rising tide raises all ships. You know, Vans worked very, very hard to help propel Blink-182's career. And in return, despite these guys being like, oh yeah, we want to destroy everything, we want to create chaos, we're a punk rock band, potty humor, they also don't tarnish the names of like the sponsors and the other bands. Their rising tide raises all ships. Instead of dragging Vans' name down in the mud, they say, nah, we're going to go buy a bunch of Vans products and give it to kids. And, you know, we're going to show how like skateboarders rock. And for anybody that ever followed Blink-182 for a long time, you'll know how kind of important the whole skating scene in general was important to their branding. Those are a couple of the things that kind of really stuck out to me is, despite being like, hey, we're just going to use this money for whatever, they still use that money to like make people's lives better, which is like really, really cool. And to support not only their own business, but the businesses of the partners that they work with. They weren't trapped in a box. They didn't say, oh, we have to make this long narrative video of a guy going to a concert, falling in love. And then what's the most poetic part of the story? Well, the bridge. When you learn that Mark Hoppus does not get the girl. And if I never ever had a second chance, I'd still ask her to dance because she kept me waiting. That's where you actually learn the struggle of the story. And so just like how most of us are never going to meet, you know, that girl at the rock show that we spend our whole lives with, this imagery and this lyric really points to how these things like shaving people's heads and dropping a car from a crane, these are things that normal people will never have the opportunity to do. Maybe a few people will have the opportunity to do them throughout their life. And if I ever get another chance, I'd still ask her to dance. And it's really just pointing to like, look at all these things that we could do, but they just don't happen to real people. Allegorically speaking, I really feel like they did this wonderful piece where it's like, oh man, this is a hilarious video that seems ridiculous. It seems out of character. It doesn't have anything to do with the rock show or the girl. But in reality, it's kind of like an allegory about how, you know, most of us are not going to spend a lot of our times doing these ridiculous types of things in life. And to me, that just seems poetic.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is much more insight than I could have provided as far as the themes of the music video and the song. But I want to touch on something you said, which is essentially product placement is punk rock. There's no room for gatekeeping here. And who knows, maybe Vans even paid them extra to highlight all that stuff. They might have said, here's the money to buy these. Either way, that is something that an independent artist can do. If there's a local business, ask them, be like, hey, would you give us $200 to put you in our next music video? And it doesn't even have to be $200 cash. It could be like, hey, we need pizzas. We're going to do like a party video. We need pizza. You have branded boxes, right? Can you give us $200 worth of pizza for this music video? And we will make sure that the box with your logo on it is prominently shown in the video. We'll take a video of your delivery person handing it to us and zoom in on the logo. You could do that with breweries. You could do that with a music store if you have a local music shop. That would actually be a kind of cool music video. You go into a music store and you kind of play it off as, hey, yeah, we're just learning, like, we're looking at drums, guitar, and bass. And then you sit down and you play a song and everyone in the store just kind of turns around and is like, oh, wow, these guys are good. I thought they were just learning. That would be a really cool music video. And you could probably get the space for free if you show the owners a good plan saying like, hey, this is our marketing plan for this video. If you let us do this, obviously we'll pay like to replace your drum heads and stuff if we break anything. Hey, we can even bring our own instruments if you want. And just let us use the space. We'll make sure your sign is at the start of the video. And it's like, hey guys, we're going to go learn how to play some instruments today at Sam's Instruments in Cheyenne, Wyoming, wherever you are. They might be really into that idea.
I think they would absolutely be into that idea.
Yeah. So there are things here. There are ideas that you can take from this video. Because back in the early 2000s, this video came out in 2001, I want to say, between like 2003 and 2007, all the videos were big stories, like you're saying, Matt. Just think of bands like My Chemical Romance. They did a lot of complex videos. You know who took it to even a 10x level of that?
30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure that is partially because of Jared Leto's background as an actor, that he said, hey, I want to do this. I want to tell a story here. So you have videos that are like 12 minutes long. The song is 4 minutes. And either there's like 6 minutes of lead up and then the song and then 2 minutes of outro, or in some cases, they'll just drop in parts of the song throughout the music video. And then there's dialogue or silence in between. And then there's another like chorus and verse and they just drop them in. It's really amazing stuff. And Blink just said, we're going to go have fun.
Side note, everybody should go watch the music video from yesterday as well. That is one of the most epic cinematic pieces. I mean, The Kill is also incredible.
Yeah, but that's very derivative.
It is. From Yesterday is out of this world good. Everybody should watch that music video. It's inspirational.
Yeah. And I should say, when I say derivative for The Kill, I don't mean it's bad. It was a tribute, but it's not like, wow, they did this thing that's so incredibly original. Whereas from Yesterday, yeah, there's so many movies of like samurais and stuff. Or maybe they're in China. I don't know. Sorry. Excuse my ignorance. But either way, it was a more original thing than the video for The Kill. Getting back to the Blink video, I assume that all of these people agreed to be in the video because of rights and stuff for using their face for promotional efforts. But I wonder how many people knew, oh my God, this is Blink 182, versus how many people were like, oh, you're going to give me money? Okay. And then later saw themselves in this huge video on MTV and were like, wait, that's who that was? I'm in that video? I'm sure they knew it was Blink 182 for whatever waivers they assigned. But if they don't know the name Blink 182, that doesn't matter. They'd be like, Blink 182, whatever, some band, okay. It's such a cool thing to me. I'm like, I wonder how many people later realized we're in this amazing, legendary music video.
Well, I mean, it's very similar to like, you know, Little Dicky, his music video on how to make an awesome music video. Where, I mean, they like shot a music video in a mansion, but the mansion wasn't his. But he literally filmed himself walking around to different people's houses, knocking on their door and asking if he could use their mansion to film. Till he finally just found a lady that said, oh, yeah, sure. Then that was literally the biggest music video. It was a viral hit. And it was absolutely crazy because all he had to do was like talk to these people. Same thing. I wonder if that lady knew. It was like, oh, my gosh, that's the guy who filmed his music video in my mansion. This is my house. You always kind of wonder if people wake up starstruck from those scenarios.
Yeah, I saw a clip on TikTok yesterday. It was Rainn Wilson, who is Dwight Schrute on The Office, being interviewed by, I think it was Jimmy Fallon. And he's talking about how he was on a flight and the guy next to him spent the entire cross-country flight watching episodes of The Office. And this was peak pandemic, so Rain had a mask on. And towards the end of the flight, he's like, so you really like that show, huh? The guy goes, yeah, I love it. And Rain goes, I heard it's not that great. And so then the guy says, well, the first season's a little slow. You'll get into it. Just give it a try. Get to the second season. And then as they're chatting, like Rain slowly takes off his mask. And the guy's like, wait a second. You're the guy!
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
Yes. Yes, Jim. Yes. Anyway, my takeaways from this video are, as you said, Matt, it's very on brand. It has the punk rock vibe to it. Because it's Blink-182. They're never going to do anything that's not punk rock. We won't discuss like the last 10 years or so.
I was going to say.
Yeah. But the thing is, it builds into this big show. And I'm sure they had to spend some budget on that. Unless they just said, hey, free room, free show, bring people. I don't know. It's been a while. But this video also made some lasting memories. One of which is that the van, somebody found it in a junkyard a year or two ago. And that is a memory for Blink-182 fans. It's like somebody went out and found that van from the video. And it's all faded and stuff. But you can see the three circles where it said 182. Because those were like decals over the paint. So it's not as faded there. And like, yeah, this is the van. We found the van. And that is so cool that basically 20 years later, people are still inspired by this music, by this music video, by this band to go out and spend probably days searching through public records and junkyards and all kinds of stuff to find the van. And if there's like a news article or a video or something, I'll make sure that's in the show notes. I can't remember where I saw it. It might have just been TikTok, and it's so difficult to find stuff on TikTok. Maybe that's just me as a boomer millennial, but finding stuff again is not easy on TikTok, in my opinion. The other thing is, and this is where two of my loves are tied together, the video ends with a banner tow plane promoting Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. So planes, that's one of my big things. And the other fun fact here is that Take Off Your Pants and Jacket was actually recorded at least in part at Signature Sound San Diego, where I interned for about 6 months. In like 2017, 2018. And I've met some of the engineers who worked on this album. There's pictures on the walls. There's like a gold record, obviously, or maybe it's platinum. I don't know how many copies it sold. But either way, this is like so cool to me. I'm like, this was recorded in a room that I have recorded a band in. What? Now, they did the drums up at Cella, which is now East West in LA, which to me is sacrilege because the room at Signature Sound sounds amazing. Not that East West doesn't. East West is also amazing. And I think it was a compromise from what I understand. I talked to Christian Cummings, who is one of the current house engineers at Signature Sound. Yeah, he had posted something about Blink. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. Why didn't you guys do the drums there? And he tagged the engineer. And the guy was basically like, well, Jerry Finn lived in LA, so they wanted to do something closer to him. I'm like, that's totally fair. And I guess they split the time between San Diego, where the band lives, and LA, where the Jerry lives. So they didn't always have to go back and forth. It was like, we'll do some here, we'll do some there. But still, to me, it's like, you could have done the drums there and gotten that amazing room sound. Anyway, that's me nerding out about my two steps away from Blink-182, I guess, because it's me, then Christian, then the other guy, and then Blink. And I think Christian worked those sessions as well. I don't know for sure. But either way, like, I get to nerd out a little bit about that. Now, to wrap this all up, this video and Blink in general, their branding in the early 2000s and the late 90s was so good that they are still huge. Everybody knows they just announced a new world headlining tour about 4, 5, 6 months ago at the end of last year. I guess it was October already. So yeah, we're looking at like 7 months by the time this episode drops. Last week, as of when we're recording this, they just headlined Coachella because Frank Ocean decided to drop out last minute. That's huge. We're talking about a band that 20 to 25 years later is still headlining one of the biggest festivals in the United States. I don't think we're going to see that for Frank Ocean. You know why? Dave Grohl breaks a leg mid-set and keeps playing and finishes the set. Frank Ocean was injured like a week before and he played the first set and then just midweek decided to bail on the second one. And this is nothing against Frank Ocean personally, but in my opinion, the bands that stick around, the bands that make the show happen, the bands that build a fan base who trusts them are going to be around. And I'm getting off topic here, but look at Morrissey. He cancels shows all the time. He's known for that. Yeah, he still has a good chunk of fans, but he's not headlining any major festivals. And he's arguably more famous in his generation than Blink is in ours.
Unquestionably.
But he can't sell a lot of tickets because people expect that he's going to cancel. So if you get that kind of reputation, it's not going to go well. On the other hand, if you just put on a fun show and you actually show up, and I realize that I'm saying all of this when Blink has canceled shows this year because Travis injured himself.
But in Travis's defense, I saw them when I was 15 or 16 years old, and Travis had a broken leg. And so he just played left-handed the entire night. Just that simple. I mean, and you have to be a good enough drummer to be able to make that switch. But yeah, broken leg, like he like broke it snowboarding like the week before. But I mean, full leg cast. But it was crazy because halfway through the set, they wheeled him off stage in a wheelchair. And it, like the lights all went down and they wheeled him off stage. And everybody was like, wait, what's going on? Like, oh, did Travis like hurt himself even worse? And then all of a sudden, he came up in the middle of the arena on a rotating drum set that had different colored lights inside of the acrylic clear drums that had a trigger that every time he would hit the drums, a different light would go off. It started off just nice and simple, cool little light show. And then all of it, I mean, by the time Travis was going insane, it was just like anybody there that had epilepsy was screwed.
I shouldn't laugh, but the way you described that was too funny.
We got really lucky because it was seating, which sucked. And it was like my first concert, so I had no idea what to expect. And we were really far away from the stage. I was just excited to hear the music. But there were so many people, I had to stand on my chair to even be able to see. And we kept wanting to get closer, but they wouldn't let us get closer. And it just so happened that we were like 8 feet from where the rotating drum set came up. You know, there I was, you know, like bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young Matt just being like, whoa, that's my favorite drummer. You know, it's just like the craziest thing ever. First place I saw a Streaker, you know, that was that day.
Very appropriate for Blink-182.
Absolutely. And that's just even more of their branding. They're just so on brand. They promote people being young and childish, you know, like children of all ages. That's what they are. Even their pastime hobbies since they've gotten older are still like kind of seeded in childhood fantasies. Like Tom spends a lot of his time looking for aliens now with NASA and SpaceX and like all these other, like you can go watch him narrate videos about UFO sightings and stuff like that, which is just crazy. Because it's like, oh man, I used to listen to this guy talking about potty mouth humor when I was a kid. And now it's like, oh yeah, here's the physical formula that blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, interesting. This is such a change in paradigm. And then they still get back together and they still write songs that are on brand, that are still about causing a little bit of chaos while having fun and just creating a scenario where everybody wins, you know. And that's like, I don't want to say that they were a party band, but there was definitely good party vibes whenever it's like, oh, if you were hanging out with your friends and Blink-182 was on, it was lighthearted. It was like summertime party music, kind of, you know. It just had the nice blend there, and they will continue to inspire people for generations. It's all due to their consistency. They're true to themselves, even in the newer stuff that they write, which is definitely not as good as it was when they were like a little more angsty teenagers trying to have fun, but they're still out there. Travis Barker has broken every bone in his body. He has been in like a helicopter crash, a plane crash, multiple car crashes. He burned almost all of the tattoos off of his body while crawling from the wreckage of one of those and decided to get all of his tattoos again. This is a dude that is just like, oh yeah, we got to cancel due to health. It's like, I totally understand.
And especially it was his finger this time, which if you have an injured finger as a drummer, that is not going to work. You're going to make it so much worse. Whereas if you're a singer and you like twist an ankle, you can sit down.
I filmed a music video with a broken ankle, so somebody else can do it too.
Yeah.
But Blink-182 is really one of those bands that if you really dive into their story and you really like look at, you know, who they are as people and kind of what the things they've had to go through both as a band and as individuals, it's really inspiring. These were people that were absolutely committed to their art, to their craft, and that never gave up. So Travis Barker was a trash man. In the day before neck tattoos and face tattoos and hand tattoos were like a thing, the only people that had those were people who did drugs, sold drugs, or like part of cartels. And he got every inch of his body tattooed. And when asked why, he said, because I was a garbage man and I had to make it as a drummer. And so I tattooed these parts of my body where people wouldn't give me a job. So I had to make it as a drummer.
That is dedication.
Yep. That's a little level of dedication that only few people can even aspire to. That's a whole different story for another time. But I would encourage anybody, whether or not you like their music, to learn a little bit more about the artists themselves, Mark Hoppus, Tom DeLonge, and Travis Barker, because they all have pretty incredible stories. Even when Blink-182 broke up the first time, they all went their own way, and Angels and Airwaves was a great project, Plus 44 was a great project, and then even afterwards, Travis Barker went more into the hip-hop world, Mark went into the indie world, and Tom went into the rock world. hearing them go off and each kind of develop their own sound uniquely, and then to come back together and to start writing music together was also a really cool part of the story. You know, now that I'm older now, you know, the potty humor is not what I'm looking for in my music, but I would be amiss to say that it doesn't hold a special place always. I was one of those 0.1% that did find my girl at the rock show. And so Blink-182 will always be sacred to my heart because they wrote music that defined who I am as a person, and they put out some awesome music videos that changed many people's lives.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest takeaway here is watch music videos, especially this one, especially the rock show, but watch music videos from other artists and see what they do that you can take and use in your own music video. And I'm not saying copy them. I'm saying be inspired by it. Look at what they do and say, hey, that's really cool. I want to do something along these lines, but I'm going to implement it in this XYZ different way. Going back to the product placement, talking about pizzas. Hey, look, we can do that too. Or smashing a car. You know what? That would be really fun. But instead of dropping it from a crane, let's find an old beater and take it to the local racetrack and ask if they'll let us smash it into a wall. Do something creative. And again, we're not saying rip off the video. We're saying just like you listen to music and that music inspires you to make your own music, go watch some other music videos and let those inspire you for your own music videos.
Amen.
That does it for this episode of the Band Hive Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning and listening. I really appreciate it. And I hope that you enjoyed this deep dive into Blink-182's video for The Rock Show. It was really fun to do this, and we just decided, you know, we're going to have some fun with this episode. It's number 182, so we got to talk about Blink. They're so prevalent in the rock scene. So this is our kind of little tribute of the Band Hive Podcast to Blink-182 for a song and video we both really enjoy. I remember all 3 years I did Warped Tour. On the way to Warped, we would blast The Rock Show in the van and just have a good time, get amped up for an exciting summer. And that was always so much fun. So good personal memories around this song for me, and really just something that I think is inspiring to the next generation of artists. So I hope you'll go and rewatch this video as well as other music videos that you enjoy to take inspiration from them. We'll be back with another brand new episode of the Band Hive Podcast next Tuesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time right here in your favorite podcast app. Until then, I hope you have a great week. Stay safe. And of course, as always, keep rocking. Hey, you. Yeah, you, with the headphones or the speakers. You've made it to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. While I still have you here, if you're not already in the Band Hive Facebook community, it would be great to see you there. We have over 600 like-minded musicians who are asking questions, sharing their experiences and advice, and much more. So if you want to improve your band's business, look no further than the Band Hive Facebook community. You can find it by searching for Band Hive on Facebook. That's BANDHIVE, or going to bandhive.rocks/group. Again, that's bandhive.rocks/group, and that will automatically redirect you to our Facebook community. I look forward to seeing you there soon.